I've been hearing this song everywhere I go. Last Christmas, I gave you my heart, but the very next day, you gave it away. Is this really a Christmas song? Just because the word Christmas is in there, is that? Well, apparently people think it is because it's all over the place during the Christmas season. This year, to save me from tears, I'll give it to someone special. I'm a little bit perplexed by the lyrics of this song. And I want to ask the songwriter, George Michael, why are you talking to someone who broke your heart last year? What business do you have speaking with this person? Or is it because you're still not over this person? Well, apparently so, because he says, to save me from tears, because if I do that again, you're going to make me cry. I'm going to be in intense pain again. So instead, I'm going to give my heart to someone special. Who may that be? I mean, obviously, there is no one else more special than this Cruella de Vil that broke your heart last year. And what? You think that by telling her that you're going to give your heart to someone else is going to make her jealous? Come on, man. Wake up. Obviously, she does not care what you do with your heart, so move on. I think the writer was in a lot of pain, and perhaps that's why he couches it with a happy tune. Last Christmas, I gave you my heart. It's actually a very happy tune, a very sad song. Now, sometimes when you're in so much pain, you do some stupid things, like talking to the person who broke your heart last year. And you say things that don't make much sense when you're in so much pain, when you're hurting. Now, everyone goes through at least some suffering in life, whether it's a heartbreak, a physical illness, poverty, or persecution, as you read in the responsive reading today. I heard someone say that if you're not suffering right now, today, either you just did yesterday, or you're going to tomorrow. Suffering is common in our midst. We all go through pain from time to time. It's not only the sick and the hungry that suffer, but everybody. Now, you may be wondering why we're talking about pain and suffering today when the church is obviously decorated for Christmas, the most wonderful time of the year. Thank you to those that did this yesterday and the day before. Isn't it beautiful? It's marvelous. All those that were involved, really appreciate you. Well, it is some people's favorite time of the year, but for others, you know, it's not such a good time. Have you heard that there are more suicide attempts during the holiday season than any other time? If that's true, I wonder why. Is it because pain is accentuated during this jovial season? For example, lonely people feel more lonely when they see other people partying together so frequently? Whatever the case, when pain persists, when suffering is intense, it sometimes leads people to ask this question. Why doesn't God care about me? He cares, he seems to care for everybody else. He blesses everybody else. Why doesn't God care about me? Because if he cared about me, I wouldn't be going through so much pain right now. Imagine with me a homeless person peering through a large window of a house where a family is celebrating Christmas dinner. Everybody's there, aunts and uncles, all the cousins, grandma and grandpa. And people are laughing. Indeed, it is a festive celebration. And the hungry homeless person thinks in his heart, and do you blame him for doing it? Why am I cursed like this? Why don't I have a family to celebrate with? You have probably asked something similar at some point in your life. When you were sick in bed for 3 months, something crossed your mind about all the healthy and the strong people around you. Why doesn't God bless me with good health? Everyone else at school is normal, except you, with a learning disability. And you wonder, why didn't God give me a normal brain? Of all the people at work, you are the only one laid off. And you ask, why is God doing this to me? Why are you singling me out, God? And why are you silent and distant? Why aren't you listening to my cry? Let me read the psalm here, a portion of what we read together, Psalm 142. In the path where I walk, men have hidden a snare for me. Look to my right and see. No one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life. I cry to you, O God. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. In Psalm 22, it says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from my cries of anguish. My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. If the most wonderful time of the year is not where you are today, I hope that today's message will help. If you have been crying out to God with the psalmist, with Jesus on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? I pray that today you will be reminded, that you will realize God has not forsaken you. Despite how things are in your life, I hope you can see Emmanuel, God with us. Contrary to how things appear, you are blessed. I hope you can see that today. There are some misconceptions about God's blessing and God's love and concern for us and how that shows in our lives that hinders us from believing and seeing God's immense love and care. And for a long time in my life, I struggled with this, and I still maybe. For a long time, I was trying to make sense of God's love by answering the question on suffering. Namely, if God is love, why is there so much suffering in the world? Why am I going through so much pain? Because if my child is hurting, I'm going to jump in and try to do my best to alleviate that pain. If that's the way our Heavenly Father is, how is it that I am going through this continual agony in my life? I thought that if I can know the purpose or the reason for pain and suffering, then I can defend God and His love. So, for example, let's say that you're wrongfully accused and sent to prison where you suffer a great deal, and you wonder why God has allowed this, and then you find out that while you're in prison, there was a plague, and everyone outside died. And now you know why God orchestrated for you to be wrongfully accused. And that suffering was nothing because your life was saved. You know, we want to find meaning in our suffering. We want to find the reason and the purpose. You know, I hear this quite often in people's testimonies. A person with an amputated leg would get up and talk about how he lost his leg, but now he has found his life. And maybe if he hadn't lost his leg, he would not have found God. You know, we hear things like this because we want to find a reason for the suffering that we go through. The trouble comes when the suffering is so great that you can't imagine what the reason might be. You can't, well, what purpose would that serve? The big news these days has been about the former Penn State coach who allegedly molested little boys, many of them. Now, he hasn't gone to trial, but many, many young men have come out of the woodworks to accuse this man of such evil. And, you know, things like this really, really tests my faith. And I begin to wonder, what purpose would that serve for these boys? That kind of pain is so deep and pervasive, and it's like these children's lives are forever infected with pain. It's I can't even imagine what it's like. And a big part of what I understand the Bible to be is God's calling for His people to defend, protect, and find justice for those who can't fend for themselves. This is a major, major theme throughout the entire Bible. And my thoughts are if there's no one to protect and fend for the innocent children, that is a time when God can step in and intervene. Those are my thoughts. That would be nice, God. But where is God when an innocent child is being tortured, the torture that will probably continue for the rest of his life? But not only that, there's more. He loses his faith in God because he thinks in his mind, he is constantly bombarded when he goes to church, that there is a reason, there's a purpose for everything that happens, that for every suffering, there is a reason. God allowed it. He ordained it. for a purpose. And they can't see what the purpose might be. And they can't understand why God can be so cruel. And they lose their faith completely. Is that the purpose for them to lose God completely? How can God allow such a thing, they ask. They're sickened by the thought of how cruel God can be. I want to say that this is a misconception. The idea that there is a reason and a purpose for every suffering in life. For everything, for some, yes. But for everything that happens, God was sitting there on his throne, allowing and disallowing every detail of human affairs. Okay, I will allow that. That I will not allow it. We may be thrown off by the story of Job, where God did such a thing. But I don't know that it happens for every detail of humanity, and this is so pervasive in the Christian belief that God, it goes as far as to say, God has predestined every person to either be saved or lost. And everything that happens in their life, God preordained it. He is in control over everything. The reason that I'm wearing a brown suit today is because God preordained it. Don't blame me for not matching Christmas, okay? God has, he has chosen, he is in control. If I hurt you, that's in his plan. Grin and bear it. If you're going through suffering, there's a purpose, there's a reason. God has allowed it for a reason. And I for some intense pain, suffering unimaginable, people give up God because of this misconceptions of God being taught in church. I defy such theology. There isn't a reason for every suffering. Some things are just a consequence of evil choices that humans make. We should not blame God for the evil in the world. He is not the one causing it. He is not the one allowing it. He is not responsible for giving us the freedom of choice. I know I'm poking at something that you have believed for a long time. And mind you, I'm struggling with this as well. And it's been my belief for a long time that there is a reason. I want to find a purpose for why I am suffering. But God is not to be blamed for every tragedy. He is not to be credited for every jackpot won either. He is not a puppeteer orchestrating every act on earth. That is not the kind of control he means. The world laughs at us when we say God is in control because they think we mean by that he is managing the affairs of humanity. If God were in control over the world, we would have a lot of questions because this world is quite chaotic. When we say God is in control over the world, we mean something beyond this. And the Bible is very explicit. It is not a battle of flesh and blood. This is a spiritual warfare. God is in control of his kingdom, the kingdom of life, that kingdom of God that he is calling us to step away from this life into the kingdom, to his kingdom. Now, the reason that I bring this up with the question of why doesn't God care about me? Is that that question stems from the foundational belief on thinking that there is a reason and a purpose to every suffering, which comes from the idea and the belief, theology of predestination. There are some denominations, groups of Christians that do not believe in predestination. SDAs are one of them. And yet, I find, as I'm talking to people, that there are bits and pieces of this belief that is embedded into our theology that really upsets our view of God's love and care. So many of my friends have given up on God altogether because of this, because they cannot answer the question on human suffering. And I want to say to them, and I do tell them, God did not do it. God did not cause that pain. He is not the one to blame. But it's so hard to convince them because it's embedded in their minds that there is a God allowed it. He just stood there and watched. He allowed it. Now, I'm not going to answer the question on suffering today or ever. I can tell you that now. I can do a 10-part series on suffering, kind of like I did with the Decalogue. God forbid that I do that again, a 10-part series. You guys were very patient with me. And even at the end of the 10 sermons, I will not answer the question on suffering. But I do want to say this, and this is the good news. This is the Christmas part of the message. What makes me so excited, despite the suffering that I see in the world, needless, terrible, is that no matter what humanity goes through, humans can be certain that God loves and cares for us deeply because of Christmas. All right, it's that simple. Because of Emmanuel, because God, what more does God have to do to show us his love? That he cares for us beyond belief. What more? What more? Answer me. What more can God do than to come down himself, suffer with us, suffer for us, die for us, to give up his life for us? What more? What more can God do? Christmas is the answer for humanity in pain. There is no answer directly to suffering, perhaps. But when we can step away from all of that and realize what we have in God, what God has given us, when Christmas took place, perhaps we can see God's love and tenderness and compassion toward us, despite the current circumstances of our lives. Christ was born means that we are saved. It means no matter how tough it is at the moment, I know it pales in comparison to the glory soon to come. Romans 8:18. Although we may not know the reason why we are suffering, we can know that when God became flesh, his love and care for us was revealed to the max. God need not do anything else for us ever again. And we can still know his eternal love and care for us. The incarnation of Christ is the answer for humanity. It is the gift which is more than enough. It is a blessing that dwarfs all other blessings. I don't want to minimize the pain of your life. They are real. They are painful. And there may be no answer to why you had to go through them. But know this, Christmas is real. That means you are blessed. That means you are free. That means the answer to all your questions has come. That means you know that your suffering will end. My 6-year-old boy, on his birthday, for his birthday, he requested a particular set of Legos. It was actually a small package of 15 to 20 pieces of Legos, $3.99 at Target, less than $4. But that's what he wanted. He really wanted that. Well, what his parents had in mind was something much grander, 1,200 pieces Legos, costing $139. Wow. That's quite extravagant, you know, with a pastor's salary. And so we had this, the other set prepared. And this is the terrible thing about having siblings. His sibling informed him that he was not getting the 15-piece package, which upset him greatly. And if you know my boy, you know how melodramatic he can be. The world was over when he found out that he was not getting what he wanted. He was having a fit. He was crying. He was suffering greatly. And so we had to tell him. We had to, before his birthday, we had to open the package. We had to undo the wrapping to show him what we got him. And then his eyes opened, he stopped crying, and he smiled, and he was in shock. He realized that this was more than enough. This is more than what he expected. His suffering was alleviated. Perhaps during this Christmas season, in the midst of our pain and suffering, if we realize the gift God has given us through Christmas, perhaps that will help alleviate some of the pain, as awful as they are, to at least help us realize that our suffering is but for a short time. That it'll help us to realize that we have so much more, that our labor and toil for the moment is transient. Redirect your thinking. Help yourself realize what God has done for you on that Christmas day. That is more than enough to prove his love and concern for you. I hope that this is something, this Christmas, this gift of, this wonder of Christmas becomes more real to you. And God's love and tenderness and compassion for you becomes more vivid in your life. What can I say to clearly portray just how much God loves you? I can't say anything. I am speechless. who you are to God is beyond my ability to explain. He loves you so deeply. He cares for you so much. Amen.